Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the sermons of George Whitefield, we're finishing up what we began last time about persecution being every Christian's lot. And he quotes from 2 Timothy 3:12, which says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Here then I would pause and last by way of application, exhort all persons, first, to stand a while and examine themselves. For by what has been said, you may gather one mark whereby you may judge whether you are Christians or not. Were you ever persecuted for righteousness' sake? If not, you never yet lived godly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever you may say to the contrary, the inspired apostle, in the words of the text, the truth of which I think I have sufficiently proved, positively asserts that all who will live godly in him shall suffer persecution. Not that all who are persecuted are real Christians, for many sometimes suffer and are persecuted on other accounts than for righteousness' sake. The great question, therefore, is whether you were ever persecuted for living godly. You may boast of your great prudence and sagacity, and indeed these are excellent things, and glory because you have not run such lengths and made yourself so singular and liable to such contempt as some others have. But alas, this is not a mark of your being of a Christian, but of a Laodicean spirit, neither hot nor cold, but fit only to be spewed out of the mouth of God. And that which you call prudence is often only cowardice, dreadful hypocrisy, a pride of heart, what makes you dread contempt and afraid to give up your reputation for God. You're ashamed of Christ and his gospel. And in all probability, was he to appear a second time upon earth, in words as well as works, you would deny him. Awake, therefore, all you that live only formally in Christ Jesus, and no longer seek that honor which comes of man. I do not desire to court you, but I entreat you to live godly and fear not contempt for the sake of Jesus Christ. Beg of God to give you his Holy Spirit, that you may see through and discover the latent hypocrisy of your hearts, and no longer deceive your own souls. Remember, you cannot reconcile two irreconcilable differences, God and mammon, the friendship of this world and the favor of God. Know you not who has told you that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? If therefore you are in friendship with the world, notwithstanding all your spacious pretenses to piety, you're at enmity with God. You are only heart hypocrites. And what is the hope of the hypocrite when God shall take away his soul? Now, let the words of the text sound an alarm in your ears. Let them sink deep into your hearts. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. A second, from the words of the text, I would take occasion to speak to those who are about to list themselves under the banner of Christ's cross. What say you? Are you resolved to live godly in Christ Jesus, notwithstanding the consequence will be that you must suffer persecution? You're beginning to build, but have you taken our Lord's advice to sit down first and count the cost? Have you well weighed with yourselves that weighty declaration, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me"? And again, "Unless a man forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple"? Perhaps some of you have great possessions. Will you not go away sorrowful if Christ should require you to sell all that you have? Others of you again may be kinsmen or some way related or under obligations to the high priests or other great personages who may be persecuting the church of Christ. What do you say? Will you, with Moses, rather choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Perhaps you may say, my friends will not oppose me. That is more than you know. In all probability, your chief enemies will be those of your own household. If, therefore, they should oppose you, are you willing, naked, to follow a naked Christ? To wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, in dens and caves of the earth, being afflicted, destitute, tormented, rather than not be Christ's disciples? You are now all following with zeal, as Ruth and Orpah did Naomi, and may weep under the word. But are not your tears crocodiles' tears? And when difficulties come, will you not go back from following your Lord as Orpah departed from following Naomi? Have you really the root of grace in your hearts, or are you only stony ground hearers? You receive the word with joy, but when persecution arises because of the word, will you not be immediately offended? Be not angry with me for putting these questions to you. I'm jealous over you, but it is with a godly jealousy. For alas, how many have put their hands to the plow and afterward have shamefully looked back. I only deal with you as our Lord did with the person that said, Lord, I'll follow thee wheresoever thou goest. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, says he, hath not where to lay his head. What say you? Are you willing to endure hardness, and thereby approve yourselves good soldiers of Jesus Christ? You now come on foot out of the towns and villages to hear the word and receive me as a messenger of God, but will you not by and by cry out, away with him! Away with him! It is not fit for such a fellow to live upon the earth. Perhaps some of you, like Hazael, may say, are we dogs that we should do this? But alas, I have met with many unhappy souls who have drawn back unto perdition and have afterward accounted me their enemy for dealing faithfully with them. Though once, if it were possible, they would have plucked out their own eyes and have given them unto me. Sit down, therefore, I beseech you, and seriously count the cost. And ask yourselves again and again whether you count all things but dung and dross, and are willing to suffer the loss of all things, so that you may win Christ and be found in him. For you may assure yourselves the apostle has not spoken in vain. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Third, the text speaks to you that are patiently suffering for the truth's sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad. Great shall be your reward in heaven. For to you it is given not only to believe, but also to suffer, and perhaps remarkably too, for the sake of Jesus. This is a mark of your discipleship, an evidence that you do live godly in Christ Jesus. Fear not, therefore, neither be dismayed. Oh, be not weary and faint in your minds. Jesus, your Lord, your life, comes, and his reward is with him. Though all men forsake you, yet will not he. No, the Spirit of Christ and of glory shall rest upon you. In patience, therefore, possess your souls. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be in nothing terrified by your adversaries. On their part, Christ is evil spoken of. On your part, he is glorified. Be not ashamed of your glory, since others can glory in their shame. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial wherewith you are or may be tried. The devil rages, knowing that he has but a short time to reign. He or his emissaries have no more power than what is given them from above. God sets them their bounds, which they cannot pass. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. No one shall set upon you to hurt you. without your heavenly Father's knowledge? Do your earthly friends and parents forsake you? Are you cast out of the synagogues? The Lord shall reveal himself to you, as to the man that was born blind. Jesus Christ shall take you up. If they carry you to prison and load you with chains, so that the iron enter into your souls, even there shall Christ send an angel from heaven to strengthen you and enable you, with Paul and Silas, to sing praises at midnight. Are you threatened to be thrown into a den of lions, or cast into a burning fiery furnace, because you will not bow down and worship the beast? Fear not. The God whom you serve is able to deliver you. Or if he should suffer the flames to devour your bodies, they would only serve as so many fiery chariots to carry your souls to God. Thus it was with the martyrs of old, so that one, when he was burning, cried out, "Come, you papists, if you want a miracle, here, behold one. This bed of flames is to me a bed of down." Thus it was with almost all that suffered in former times. For Jesus, notwithstanding he withdrew his own divinity from himself, yet has always lifted up the light of his countenance upon the souls of suffering saints. Fear not, therefore, those that can kill the body and after that have no more they can do, but fear him only who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Dare to live godly in Christ Jesus, though you suffer all manner of persecution. Fourth, are there any true ministers of Jesus Christ listening? You will not be offended if I tell you that the words of the text are, in a special manner, applicable to you. But Paul wrote them to Timothy, and we, of all men that live godly in Christ Jesus, must expect to suffer the severest persecution. Satan will endeavor to bruise our heels, let who will escape. And it has been the general way of God's providence in times of persecution to permit the shepherds first to be smitten before the sheep are scattered. Let us not therefore show that we are only hirelings who care not for the sheep, but like the great shepherd and bishop of souls, let us readily lay down our lives for the sheep. While others are boasting of their great preferments, let us rather glory in our great afflictions and persecutions for the sake of Christ. Paul rejoiced that he suffered afflictions and persecutions at Iconium and Lystra. And out of all, the Lord delivered him. Out of all, the Lord will deliver us and cause us hereafter to sit down with him on thrones when he comes to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. I could proceed, but I am conscious in this part of my discourse I ought more particularly to speak to myself, knowing that Satan has desired to have me, that he may sift me as wheat. Without a spirit of prophecy, we may easily discern the signs of the times. Persecutions even at the doors. The tabernacle of the Lord is already driven into the wilderness. The ark of the Lord is fallen into the unhallowed hands of uncircumcised Philistines. They have long since put us out of their synagogues. High priests have been calling on civil magistrates to exert their authority against the disciples of the Lord. Men in power have been breathing out threatenings. We may easily guess what will follow: imprisonment and slaughter. The storm has been gathering some time. It must break shortly. And perhaps it may fall on me first. Brethren, therefore, whether in the ministry or not, I beseech you, pray for me, that I may never suffer justly as an evildoer, but only for righteousness' sake. Oh, pray that I may not deny my Lord in any wise, but that I may joyfully follow him, both to prison and to death, if he is pleased to call me to seal his truths with my blood. Be not ashamed of Christ, or of his gospel, though I should become a prisoner of the Lord, though I am bound, the word of God will not be bound. No, an open and effectual door is opened for preaching the everlasting gospel, and men or devils shall never be able to prevail against it. Only pray that whether it be in life or death, Christ may be glorified in me. Then I shall rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. And now, to whom shall I address myself next? Fifth, to those who persecute their neighbors for living godly in Christ Jesus. But what shall I say to you? Howl and weep for the miseries that shall come upon you. For a little while the Lord permits you to ride over the heads of his people, but by and by death will arrest you, judgment will find you, and Jesus Christ shall put a question to you which will strike you dumb. Why persecuted you me? You may plead your laws and your canons and pretend that you do it out of zeal for God, but God shall discover the cursed hypocrisy and serpentine enmity of your hearts and give you over to the tormentors. It is well if in this life God does not send some mark upon you. He pleaded the cause of Naboth when innocently condemned for blaspheming God and the king. And our Lord sent forth his armies and destroying the city of those who killed the prophets and stoned them that were sent unto them. If you have a mind, therefore, to fill up the measure of your iniquities, go on, persecute, despise the disciples of the Lord. But know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. What's more, those who now persecute, that you do persecute, shall be in part your judges. They'll sit on the right hand of the majesty on high, while you are dragged by infernal spirits into a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And the smoke of your torment shall be ascending up forever and ever. Lay down, therefore, you rebels, your arms against the Most High God, and no longer persecute those who live godly in Christ Jesus. The Lord will plead, the Lord will avenge their cause. You may be permitted to bruise their heels, yet in the end they shall bruise your accursed heads. I speak not this as though I were afraid of you. I know in whom I have believed. Only out of pure love I warn you, because I know not but Jesus Christ may make some of you vessels of mercy and snatch you, even you persecutors, as firebrands out of the fire. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, even persecutors, the worst of sinners. His righteousness is sufficient for them. His spirit is able to purify and change their hearts. He once converted Saul. May the same God magnify his power in converting all those who are causing the godly in Christ Jesus, as much as in them lies, to suffer persecution. My friends, the Lord be with you all. Amen. Amen. George Whitefield just leaves you breathless, doesn't it? He's this man with his passion. I hope there's nobody listening to me in this sermon audio audience. I never know who's listening. I hope you're not a persecutor. I hope you will take Whitefield's word seriously. And the rest of us, get ready. Get ready. No, don't listen to those who say that God has kept us from the wrath. He's not going to. No, we're not going to have the wrath. The wrath comes when Jesus comes for his own. And the whole world is put under interdiction. And we'll be saved from that. You were saved from wrath the moment you were saved. The moment you became a Christian, you were saved from wrath. That doesn't mean you're going to be saved from the trouble that's coming to this earth and that's already here. There's wrath being poured out already. Look all over the world. And there's persecution too. And there's persecution that will mess up your life totally, perhaps cause you physical harm, perhaps bring you to martyrdom. But those are good things ultimately. Those are the things that get the greatest reward when they're true, true martyrdoms. Enough. You've heard it from Whitefield. You don't need to hear it from me. Lots of other stuff on the website. I hope you'll go looking around. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.